Okay, welcome to ITE 1 Revision Lecture 3, 2, 3? I honestly can't remember. It's a revision lecture, and it's the 3rd of... 2nd of July, maybe? Yeah, 2nd, it's the 2nd. Okay, and today we're going to be reviewing some stuff from ITE. Now, we all remember that the deadline for the finals, if at all possible, is the 22nd of July, the 22nd of July, the 22nd of July. If you can't meet that deadline, you need to get in touch with us beforehand and let us know your circumstances, and we will make alternate arrangements, although don't fall too far behind, because ITE2 and CCNA2, you basically have a pile of labs in ITE2, and you have an absolute stack of practical labs in CCNA2, so you get labs from both sides. So he's being warned that the next semester is going to be somewhat busy. Before we get started on potential sample questions and things, does anybody have any questions or things they would like us to clarify or comments? And we are starting fairly much on time this morning, so we're aware that not everybody is here yet. But we shall continue nonetheless. Yeah, does anybody have any questions that they would like answered about the ITE1 curriculum before we start pulling a random quiz questions from the module exams? Or if anybody has any better ideas on how to revise, apart from reading you all the final exam, we're also happy to hear them. Okay, the ABC company has been provided with mobile smartphones and portable printers. Which two of the following short-range wireless technologies can connect these devices? Your first option is Bluetooth, cellular, infrared, or Wi-Fi, or satellite. And we need two answers. So that's Bluetooth, cellular, Bluetooth, cellular, infrared, Wi-Fi, or satellite. No, afraid not. You're correct with A, Leone, if you'd like to guess, have another shot at the second one. A is correct, but B, cellular, no. And our options being Bluetooth, cellular, infrared, what did I say the other ones were? Wi-Fi and satellite. And is anybody other than Leone ready to put answers into chat? Yes, the correct answers are A and C, Bluetooth and infrared. Wi-Fi is not defined as a short-range technology, as its effective range is 100 metres or 328 feet. And that'll be in your test too.
Good morning, everybody. It is Quizmaster Chris here, and the one in the USA headset that I did.
Chris is just boosting his microphone level, people. It's all right, we're aware of that. Yeah, it is very muffled. I'll keep asking questions while he has a look at his microphone level in the background.
But yes, we are aware of the fact that he's rather muffled.
The purchasing department at the ABC company, obviously this ABC company is very important to everybody because it's the ABC company all the way through the exam, has decided whether to buy retail or OEM network interface cards. Which two things do they need to consider when making this purchasing decision? The installers may need to get drivers for the OEM card off the internet. OEM cards may be more expensive than the Cisco or Linksys NICs. The OEM NICs may not be compatible with the operating system. OEM NICs may need to be installed by specialists. OEM NICs may lack proper documentation. Do people want me to go through those options again? Let's go through the question again.
Go for it, I'll just come back in.
The purchasing department of ABC Company is questioning whether to buy OEM or retail network interface cards. Which options should be considered when buying either? A. The installers may need to find the drivers for OEM network cards over the internet. B. OEM network interface cards may be more expensive than the Linksys or Cisco ones. C. The OEM cards may not be compatible with the operating system. D, OEM cards may need to be installed by specialists. Or E, OEM cards may lack proper documentation. Okay, we want two options. And the options, we've got everybody who said E, you are correct. Can anybody think of the other option that might be?
Probably A.
Anybody else? No, definitely the option A, yeah. Yeah, you may have to get drivers off the internet.
Have I got audio, Kerry?
Yeah, your audio's fine.
How's mine working?
The microphone on that headset is crud on a headset, but we can hear you. Alrighty, shall you do another question from somewhere?
Sure, I'll be taking on some of the early module questions. Again, apologies for the sound quality, I'm on a lone headset here. So my question, we're choosing two options out of this. Which two characteristics are determined by the chipset on a motherboard? A, the amount of memory that can be installed. B, operating system compatibility. C, type of connectors that will be on the motherboard. And D, maximum number of peripherals.
We're after two answers, people.
The answer is A and C. The amount of memory that can be installed and the type of connectors that will be on the motherboard. Next question, again we're looking for two answers. Which two activities are normally controlled by the Northbridge part of the chipset? A, communication between the CPU and the I.O. ports. B, access to the RAM. C, communication between the CPU and the hard drive. D, access to the video card. Or E, communication between the CPU and the sound card. Looking for two answers there. The answers are B and D, access to the RAM and access to the video card.
Okay, the thing you've got to keep in mind with the Northbridge, and I've just come up with this brainwave actually, I'm actually going to do a little bit of explanation on these questions as we go through because it'll make it a little more enlightening. You've got north and south, and the north bridge is actually closer to the CPU than the south bridge, obviously, because the south bridge is further south. Funny that. And the CPU is usually mounted towards the top of modern system boards to aid in cooling, because usually the extraction fans are near the top of the case. And it's usually devices that require high bandwidth and low latency that actually need to be on the north bridge. So you're talking things like video cards, you're talking about millions of triangles per second and stuff, and a very high program, CPU to memory bandwidth. And you're also talking about the bandwidth of the memory, which is a critical function of the machine's response time. So I hope the answers were CPU and video card. Chris will be back in a second, he's just having microphone fun. Can you guys hear me or not?
Yep, you're going okay, Kerry.
Excellent. Okay, what is the highest risk involved with improperly or overly charged batteries? A, the components can overheat. B, the laptop will be unable to hold enough charge. C, the battery can explode. Or D, the lifetime of the battery can be reduced. Anyone ever seen them explode? They're actually extremely nasty. We actually had a little story here because I'm obviously, we had somebody who had a barbecue and they threw a couple of AG13 batteries into the barbecue. And for anybody who doesn't know, AG13 batteries are a hearing aid battery. And when the batteries went bang, they actually blew the brick chimney off the top of the barbecue. Okie dokie. So there you go, that's things go bang story. So it's very important that you get the right charger for the right laptop. And interestingly enough, it's two things that are key to get right on laptop chargers are voltage and polarity. Usually devices, if they're designed properly, will only draw the current that they need, although I did say usually, so don't rely on it. However, you should have some current limiting stuff in there. But voltage is critical, and so is the polarity. And we would recommend, of course, being the HP IT Essentials people, that you get the proper charger at extreme expense from the manufacturer. However, if you are blind and poor and you're buying them off eBay, you just need to pay attention to the voltage and the polarity and the correct plug type. So there you go. And if you do buy it off eBay and you end up turning your laptop into a pile of slag on the desk, you won't get a warranty replacement, obviously, because you didn't use manufacturer-recommended parts, which is obviously a little unfortunate. Okay, I'll just find us another question. Okay, production manager in a small company is experiencing slow performance on their laptop. What should the technician try first? A. Defragment the hard drive. B. Format the secondary partition. C. Install additional RAM. D. Upgrade the existing CPU. Yeah, that's right. Defragment the hard drive. The key to that question is, which should the technician try first?
First being the key word.
That's exactly right. All right. We're just having trouble with microphones and things over here. One of our friends, who will remain unnamed, bought a Compaq laptop, and we're not big fans of Compaq. And let's just say that the reliability of the onboard components on this $750 laptop are not quite what we would enjoy. So we're just battling. You're very quiet.
How about now?
No, you're even quieter. Okay, a technician wishes to A network technician wishes to secure the of access to the network from remote users. Which technology uses radio signals with computers to provide authentication? Before accepting a username and password. A. Biometrics. B. Key fobs. C. Smart digital cards. Or D. Security dongles.
Sorry, Kerry, can I just have a question again?
The remote technician wants to secure network access. Which technology uses radio signals and before accepting a username and password for authentication? And we're looking for biometrics, key fobs, smart digital cards, or security dongles. That is correct. Key fobs are what we want.
Testing, 1, 2.
No,
you're check just... Check your 20 dB mic boost.
He's already done that.
No, I'll get another computer. We can still hear you though, Chris.
How about now?
We can live with that.
Yeah.
Is that any better?
Yeah, we can hear you. The corporate policy states that all secure traffic should be sent over secure tunnels. Which technology causes traffic to be as secure as travelling over the corporate LAN as it would be travelling across the internet? A. MD5. B. VPN. C. WEP. Or D. WPA. And you're all very clever. Okay. A network administrator has been informed of a problem with a network printer. What is the best way to stop jobs from being added to the print queue while the printer is being repaired? A. Send an email to all users telling them to stop sending any print jobs. Send a network message to all users telling them to stop sending network jobs to the network printer. Unplug the printer from the print server. Stop the print service. Or shoot the users.
That's the fun one.
And the answer, yes, we've got one answer.
Cisco answer is?
Yeah, the Cisco answer is.
Now I've got to go.
Okay. Gordon suggested we unplug the printer, although it'll be his posterior on the line when he runs out of disk space in the print queue, so we won't be doing that. We actually had somebody who believed that if you actually had a big job stuck in the print queue, that actually a print queue was like a toilet, so all you did was pile in a whole lot of bigger jobs on top of it, and that would force the job down through the print queue. We had to explain to him that print queues didn't quite work like that, and no, could he please stop sending jobs to the printer. Okay, which Windows hard drive is referred to as the C drive? The first volume partition, the first primary partition, the first extended partition, or the first logical partition? I think we should be expecting a couple more answers. And those who said B, you would be absolutely correct. Okay, a company policy says that a restore point must be created every 6 months. From the CLI, restore/CN, go to Start, Control Panel, System Tools, Accessories, Restore, Create New Restore Point. Go to Start, All Programs, Accessories, System Tools, System Restore, Create New Restore Point. or right-click my computer, go to Properties, go to Create Restore Point. The correct answer is option 3. Start, All Programs, Accessories, System Tools, System Restore, Create New Restore Point. And whilst a lot of people who are working on help desks who can see have a computer in front of them and can use the computer to check these sorts of things, and blind people can do this as well, it does help if you actually know the layouts of the dialogues and things beforehand, because you can then talk more naturally rather than going, hang on, my jaws has just dropped its bundle. Which startup type should be selected for a service which should run each time you boot the computer? A. Automatic. B. Boot. C. Manual. D. Start. Or E. Startup. And the correct answer is A. Automatic. Yeah, so you can often think of Start Jaws Automatically. So yes, and in fact, when you do click the Start Jaws Automatically checkbox, what actually happens is a service known as JFW Service, with JFW and the S in service capitalized, is actually started on boot. And that's how Jaws starts automatically. So if you want to start Jaws from the command prompt, you can actually go net space start space JFW service with JFW and S in service, all in uppercase. What a stupid question. A technician is trying to explain the difference between USB 1.1 and 2.0 to a user. The user is having trouble understanding the technician's explanation when speeds are given in megabytes per second. What is another way that the technician could explain the difference between USB 1.1 and 2.0? USB 2.0 is twice as fast as USB 1.1. USB 2.0 is 20 times faster than USB 1.1. USB 2.0 is 40 times faster than USB 1.1. Or USB 2 is 100 times faster than USB 1.1. What a silly question. You'd be almost wanting to get a calculator out at this point. And the answer to that incredibly wonderfully worded question is C. USB 2.0 is 40 times faster than USB 1.1. Because believe it or not, people, 480 divided by 12 is in fact 40. A technician has been asked to install a second optical drive into a computer. The technician needs to configure the secondary drive as slave. How can a technician achieve this? Use jumpers on the motherboard to configure the drive as slave. List the drive as slave in the CMOS. Connect the drive after the twist in the patter cable. Use jumpers on the drive to configure the drive as slave. Yeah. Put a jumper on the drive to keep it warm. That's right. Use jumpers on the drive. Can anybody tell me the other way that you can actually have the drives automatically configured as master and slave without messing with jumpers, or at least only messing with jumpers once? Yeah, cable select is the answer we want. And if anybody has seen UDMA 66 cables, they actually have different coloured connectors to go on the different drives. Not very useful for us, but that's okay.
Testing, testing.
No, you're still inaudible.
How about now?
That'll do. We can hear you now. You can ask a question.
Okay, now that I'm back. Which type of computer resources are direct lines to the processor that interrupt the CPU activities? A. DMAs. B. I/O addresses. C. IRQs. Or D, memory addresses.
Yeah, you'll just have to swing the volume control. We're having all sorts of audio problem with Chris. We've already been through three different computers, two different sound cards, and two sets of headphones, and the mixer about six or seven times, unfortunately.
Apparently it's just me.
Alrighty. And don't get me started on crummy computer sound cards that don't amplify electric microphones sufficiently. And this is the problem we're having. In fact, some sound cards, no matter how far you crank things, you're still quiet, as we're all finding out. And the answer to that one was
C, IRQs, or interrupt requests.
In fact, what I'll do, just to make things a little bit fairer, is I will actually drop my level down so that we're more equal. So that way you can wind the volume up without fear of being hurled into a smudge on the opposite wall. Okay. Messages to an administrator from the firewall are stating that HTTPS traffic is being blocked. Which port needs to be open to allow HTTPS? 22, 53, 80, 143, or 443? And the correct answer is 443, which is option C, I believe. Oh, no, sorry, it's option E, which is the last one, which is 443 for HTTPS. 143 is IMAP, 80 is HTTP, 53 is DNS, and 22 is SSH.
A technician is helping a customer compare two hard drives. Which unit of measurement is used for the hard drive speed? A, revolutions per minute, B, gigabytes, C, pages per minute, or D, clusters per minute?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to bother with that over there, Chris. If George is going to get you to repeat every question because he can't hear it, I think you better go back to being muffled and loud. He is difficult to hear, and we can all hear him here because we're in the same room, so I think we'll just give that a miss because you're almost impossible to pick out of the mud, I'm afraid. Yeah, I think so. You could try that headset where you are there if you want. And goodbye, AJ. A network technician has been asked to find the best connection for a branch office installed in a metropolitan building. Which option would be for the highest speed and lowest cost? Which would be the best option? DSL, ISDN, satellite, or wireless? I'd also like to point out to people, and I'll be making this abundantly clear in CCNA2 and ITE2, people should probably be listening to our lectures with headphones, not speakers, because we are going to have a lot of varying levels next term and there's not a lot we can do about it. Yeah, that's better. Oh, yes, I did. The answer was DSL. I probably didn't confirm it, though. I was busy complaining about people who use speakers on their computers. Yep. Yes, the reason that the answer to wearing rubber-soled shoes is no is rubber-soled shoes will stop electricity from power points and things earthing. However, it is possible for your body to build up quite a high static potential and you will zap stuff, and what the rubber-soled shoes will stop is stopping you from earthing out, so you'll be able to zap things. You'll be a mobile component fryer. A new technician has joined the IT team and is about to service a heavy printer. Which two precautions should be taken as the technician moves the printer to the service area? A. Avoid lifting the equipment using the strength in your back. B. Lift the equipment using the strength in your legs and knees. C. Avoid bending your knees when lifting the printer. D. Bend your back to pick the printer up. Or E. Avoid lifting the printer close to your body. No, you're the new technician, George, and you're servicing the printer. A lackey band won't help you. A lackey person won't help you either. They've done their back in on workers' comp by using some of the other options in this question. The correct answers are A and B. So there you go. Lift the printer using the strength in your legs and knees. And whatever the other one was, let's go have a look. Yeah, avoid lifting the equipment using the strength in your back, or you won't have any strength in your back by the time you've finished. Exactly. Anyone else want to have a go at that one? It is easier to install the processor and the RAM onto the system board before you mount the board in the case, otherwise you end up with your knuckles scraping on the bottom of the power supply as you try to install RAM, or you end up poking a screwdriver through the system board while you're trying to push that silly lever down on the processor fan. Okay, what are two characteristics of the IEEE 1284 standard? These cables usually have 9 pins or 25 pins on both ends. We'll take yeses or nos for these. We're taking yes or no answers for these. Two characteristics of the IEEE 1284 standard. Does anybody know what the IEEE 1284 standard is? Yeah. It is the Parallel Printer Standard, IEEE 1284. Which is probably worth knowing because I'm actually pulling this question directly out of the final exam, this particular one. Okay, so these cables either have 9 or 25 pins on both ends. I'll go through all of them and we'll see if anybody comes up with answers. The maximum cable length is 15 metres or 50 feet. All ports used by this standards are also known as D-shell ports. The two operative modes are ECP and EPP, and E-bidirectional communication is allowed. And for an extra lollipop, how many pins has it got? Nobody knows the name of that? Yeah, you're right to go ahead. And how many pins has it got? It has 36 pins. Okay, now the answer to that question was option 4 and 5 were correct. Bidirectional communication is allowed, and the two operative modes are EPP and ECP. Or has everybody had enough of quiz questions and we can all have an early day? Well done, George. Okay, I'll tell you what, we're going to do questions until 12 o'clock and then we're going, unless anybody is a bit more enthusiastic or has anything to do, because I think everybody's just about had enough of quiz questions. So we've got 5 minutes more to squeeze in a few questions. After scanning an image, what is the next step in the scanner testing process? Scan the same image again and compare both images to get scanner deficiencies. Calibrate the scanner based on the image that has been scanned. Print the scanned image and contrast it with the scanned image. Or visually compare the image against the image on the screen. Yes, the last one is correct. Hello guys, you've sadly missed out on an hour of revision. Which three laser printer components usually break? We'll take yeses or noes. I'd say the whole thing, but that's just me. Fuser assembly? We're taking yeses and noes. Fuser assembly? Sadly, Eddie, the fuser unit does break, according to my cheat sheet down the bottom there. How about the primary corona? Yes, you are correct. The primary corona does not usually break. How about the pickup rollers? Yes, the pickup rollers do break. And the transfer rollers? Yep, they certainly do break. So 1, 3 and 4 were as many answers as we needed. Okay, we'll take one more question from Chris, and then if anybody has any questions, they can get me on Skype during the afternoon or over the next few days. Or now, although most of you go on holidays next week and the week after, we have Australian school holidays, we will be working Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, both weeks, and we'll certainly be available on Skype. And we're also available on the mailing list. So, we've also got a gentle reminder about next Friday. We are having a person in to look at the program, and we would like as many people present as possible. Extremely important. The 11th. As many people possible. What time? Unfortunately, they've got to be in by 11 our time, which is 8:30 Indian time. Can we please try and get in anybody from Enable by 11, or any of the Indian lot by 11, because we'd like a couple of you guys there to be, if possible. But that's when this person is showing up, so very important. We'll only get to see the local lot. And that is next Friday. Next Friday? Is that next Friday? No, 11 our time. Okay, so we'll want as many people showing up on the 11th as we possibly can. And yes, we know it's holidays for a lot of you. 11 o'clock our time. It will probably take no more than half an hour, probably much less. But that's right, 11 at 11. Okay, one more question from Chris. Sir Quizmaster Chris. Lord Quizmaster Chris. Chris, even. Bowing Quizmaster Chris? Oh, bowing. Right, so okay, it says there's a bowing 747. Okay. Ask Chris. Yes, and D is correct. Okay. After gaining information about a failing printer, what are three things that should be done? And we'll take yeses or noes for these. Change the communications cable. Actually, I'll give you all of the options, and then you can decide which three you want. It's probably easier. So we've got change the communication cable, ensure all cables are connected correctly, reinstall the print driver, clear any types of paper jams, paper jam, or verify any type of print job in the printer queue, or look for any type of upgrade on the web. Okay, you are correct with BD, Eddie. There's one more. And the other one that is correct is option 5, look for any possible upgrades on the web. I don't necessarily agree with Cisco on that, because sometimes putting the new, greatest, latest printer driver on can totally ham your print system over. But that's the Cisco answer. Okay, which two algorithms are using for hashing coding to ensure that data is correct on communications channels? MD5, CHAP checksum, SHA, VPN, SSL. Anyone else want to have a shot at that one? The correct answer is SHA and MD5. SHA being a secure hash algorithm, and MD5 being message digest number 5, as opposed to Mambo number 5. She's busy recovering. She is getting better, but it's taking some time. And we all send our kindness and warmest wishes and hope that her good morning song will be back soon. Oh, definitely. Which action should be taken first if a card key is lost or stolen? Disable the card key until this key can disable the card key system until the key can be recovered. Disable all card keys and issue a new card key to all employees that can show photo identification. Issue the owner a new card key after the photo identification is shown, or disable the lost card key. No, the first one was disable the card key system until the key can be recovered. Ah, yes. The correct answer is the D. Disable the card key that has been lost. Which authentication technology uses a physical characteristic as well of the user as well as in conjunction with a password? Key fob, biometrics, smart card, key card. Anybody who said biometrics would be correct. Alright, does anybody want any more quiz questions, or have we had enough? Okay, so George doesn't know. Does anybody else know what XP stands for in Windows XP? I'll give you a clue. It's really, really tacky. Okay, XP actually stands for experience. That is actually a joke, just in case anybody takes him seriously. The other one is vision impaired, so too audio. No, seriously, that's not what Vista stands for at all. All right, look, if anybody has any questions, get back to us on the mailing list or Skype. We'll be on Skype all afternoon, or at least most of the afternoon anyway. And don't forget, the deadline for the final exam is the 22nd of July, unless, of course, you have special mitigating circumstances. I always like that phrase. If you have mitigating circumstances, you can tell us and we can come to some sort of arrangement with you. Some of you, of course, are studying ITE1 over the whole year and will not be sitting the final by the 22nd of July. So I'll leave about 20, 30 seconds after I let go of this button for anybody who may have any questions they want to drop in. Otherwise, catch us on Skype, catch us on the mailing lists, or, and good luck with your final exams. Okie dokie. Catch us all next week.